Zolf and you met my wife Sonia. I've had the privilege of being in Shofar pretty much since the beginning. My official membership number is 11. So I joined Fred and Lucille when there were only 10 people in the church. And those were very exciting days. But these recent days, thanks, are even more exciting. I really am extremely excited about what God is busy doing in the earth and what he wants us to do. Now, one of the things that Fred calls the law of human agency is that God, he wants to work through us. There's a lot of stuff God can actually do on his own. He can send the angels. There's a lot of stuff that he can do much quicker on the one hand. But on the other hand, God is really into quality, and God is also a God of process. So that means he makes a thing small, and then he wants it to grow. And we can get very excited about the fact that when it's big, it's going to be a big tree, and there's going to be a lot of shade and a lot of fruit. But we should also learn the skill, and it's a very important skill, of being excited about the little fruit when it's still small, and to really understand and to see what God has put in it as potential, and the fact that, you know, the Lord is always a God that lives in the presence. The scriptures say, this is the day of the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Have you guys heard, nou gaan call panic, maar dis nie, have you guys heard of the second coming? Okay, where in the Bible does it talk about the second coming? Nie waar nie, call. The word does not appear in scripture. Okay? The Bible talks of the day of the Lord. Okay? And there's a number of very significant things that happen. The first coming of Jesus, I'd say that's the day of the Lord. Would you say the first coming of Jesus, he's being born from a virgin, was a very important thing? It's the day of the Lord. And then his crucifixion, would you say that's the day of the Lord? It's also the day of the Lord. Because that's the word. That's the biblical word, the day of the Lord. Doesn't talk about the second coming. Doesn't talk about the third coming. It talks about the day of the Lord. And then it says, this is the day of salvation. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I just want to come here with a heart of thankfulness and blessing from Shofar and Stellenbosch. And really, it's amazing to see you guys. I haven't met most of you before, but I feel so at home. I'm so blessed by what I see. A word that the Lord has laid on Pastor Fred's heart recently, very strongly, is the whole issue of make my church a family. We must be a family. And it's so nice for Sonia and myself to come all this way and see it's a family. To spend time with Carl and Maritza and many of the other guys and actually just be so at home. And so this morning, on the one hand, even though I'm going to preach for 3 hours, I actually don't have much to say to you, because there's so much that you already know and so much that you guys are already doing. And God in his wisdom through Jesus has really placed the deposit of the fullness of Christ inside of each one of you. And if there's anything that I can do this morning, it's to bless you and to stir you up a little bit. I can't really create anything that God hasn't put there. But isn't that wonderful? And so a very important thing is, the Bible says that the days will come when we will no longer say to our neighbor, know the Lord, for each one will know the Lord. And I just want to say to you that the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the knowledge of God is inside of each one of you. If you're not filled with the Spirit, then you must get filled with the Spirit quickly. And if you're not filled with the Scriptures, then you must get filled with the Scriptures too. That's a very important thing. So there are a few things, processes, that we grow in. And that's why we've got Foundation 1 and Foundation 2 and all those things, so that we can grow in these things and learn how to nurture the seeds. But I really want you guys to understand that I am just another one of us. I'm not special. God loves you and me the same. He really does. And whatever I bring to you is supposed to be the Word of the Lord. Now, I'm human, so there may be some things that I get excited about more than you do, and that's fine. But I really want you guys to listen to what I'm saying, to try to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, and if there's some of me in there, forgive me. And as they've got this old saying, the Americans, we do learn a lot from the Americans. We don't necessarily, not everything is good. But there is this old adage that says, eat the meat and spit out the bones. If somebody offers you a meal, a braai, and it's chops, you don't have to eat the bones. Okay, so perhaps something I'm going to say is a bit you know, you'll eat them later.
That's fine.
Now, the first thing I want to say, okay, and I'm way off my sermon already. This is just the introduction. Stewardship of the gift. Okay, great. Do you guys know what a blessing is? Do you know where the first place in Scripture is where God blessed anything? It was at the end of the fourth day of creation. And God said, let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures. Genesis 1 verse 20. Sorry, that's not on there. This is just the introduction, okay? It's under, I don't know. It's under there somewhere. Okay. Let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures and let the birds fly above the earth and above the expanse. So God created the creatures and every creature and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm according to their kind and every winged bird according to its kind. And God said that it was good. Okay? The fact that God says it was good means it had been already fully designed and equipped. The guys from Isuzu won't say it is good for an Isuzu that still lacks a steering wheel and is still shorting a spare tire and an engine. Okay? You say it is good when it is finished. So after God had created them with their full capability, the Bible then says, and God blessed them saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the birds multiply in the earth. Now those little animals were already equipped. Okay, they had the tools and it was in their nature to be fruitful and multiply. And then God came and he saw what he had created and he blessed them. The blessing of God is when somebody in authority recognizes design and purpose and then blesses that and says, you guys are going to be fruitful and multiply. And that's what I want to do this morning as a church. I'm not coming here to tell you strange stuff that's not in you. I want to come and bless you with that which God has put inside of you, the knowledge of Him, which by the Holy Spirit and by the new birth and the regeneration is inside of us. And I want to come and just bless that. And so I can see that in you, and I'm really serious about that. I don't start all my sermons like this. I can see the blessing of God in you as a congregation, and it really touches my heart. And I just want to come and bless that and say, God is with you, beloved. I mean, okay, so what more can I say? Oh, well, that's amazing. You guys can look up the scriptures as we preach. That's good for me because I believe in being led by the Spirit, but that still always leads me just to another portion of Scripture. I really, really, really love the Scriptures. And when I prophesy, all I do is I stand up and I read a psalm. I don't usually say much else and I don't usually see visions. Some guys see fantastic visions. I think I've seen two in my life. But the Scriptures excite me no end. Okay, first slide, family. Something that God's been laying on my heart a lot is the whole issue of original design, the purposes of God. God created Windhoek for a purpose. God knows about Windhoek and He's got a plan. God made each one of us. He knows about you and He's got a plan. Some of us don't know God. Some of us might not even believe in God, and some of us may have a very limited contact with God. Perhaps your only contact with God is Wednesdays at home cell, if you go, and Sundays at church. Well, if that's your only contact with God, that's what I call mustard seed faith. I asked God once, do you know the scripture that says that all you need is mustard seed faith, just a little bit of faith? Now, if you are really struggling, you're going through a tough time in your life, how much is the minimum amount of faith that you need to make it in the kingdom in order to grow? I think if you've got enough faith to drag yourself by one end, and then with the other hand, to church, I think you're going to make it. The guys that don't manage to drag themselves to church, I really don't know. It's a good thing to come to church. So I'm not saying they're not going to make it. But I'm saying that each one who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you guys that come to church, and that's for the bare minimum. Then there are those, and we're going to be speaking about that because we should all be in there. Then there are those who come with a great testimony, who come with good works, who come with miracles and testimonies of the goodness of God that He did in the week for us. And that's where God wants us all to get to. But because it's a process of growth, and the whole issue of seed that starts small and gets big, there is no condemnation for you if your seed is still small and your tree is small. But what I really want to beseech you and urge you is look after that little tree. Feed that little tree. Come to church. Go to Bible school. Do the foundations. Get spirit-filled. Cease from your sins. And that's a process for some of us as well. But praise God, the Lord has made provision for that. And I really want to say that is, for me, so important. And when I come here, I want to see what does God want of this church. I'm not going to try and tell you, you guys must be doing this and this and this and this. It's much more important for me to see what is God already doing here. And to go home and pray about it and try and understand what am I seeing. And then to come and to bless that. And just to say, God has made you guys to do this, 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 and this. And I want to stand here as someone sent by Jesus to bless you guys and to say, but this is what I see in you. You guys go and do this. And when it comes to family and when it comes to relationship and just the general spirit of the kingdom, which is one of hospitality, you guys are doing so well. And I just want to acknowledge that and bless you in that. Okay, then I'm going to talk about equipping the saints. Okay, loving the scriptures. I'm going to read a large portion of scripture to you. I don't know if you guys are used to that, but personally it's my preferred method of preaching, is to read a chapter. I don't like taking a little verse and getting excited about it. One can do that. There's mainly two ways of putting sermons together. The one is to look at a theme, let's say forgiveness, and then you take a scripture from Deuteronomy, and you take a scripture from Ephesians, and you take a scripture from Jude, and then you teach on this thing, and you show different perspectives of this concept of forgiveness, which works throughout scripture. That's a good way of preaching, and often we do that. The other way of preaching, this main way, there's lots of ways of preaching, but the other main way is what they call a textual sermon, which means you just read the whole chapter. Now, personally, those things excite me no end, because if we allow the Word of God to speak for itself, as it were, and to see the context in which a verse stands, sometimes there are lots of little verses that we know. Who of you can quote John 3:16? Who can quote John 3:15? And do you know that John 3:16 begins in the Greek language with the word in the same way? The word so, for God so loved the world. That so in Greek means in the same way, and in the Greek text it's the first word. This is a couple word. It connects John 3:16 to John 3:15. It's so important that we, and I want to say something, and that's why I started. For me, I've got a great urgency. I love children. I love parenting. It was a great privilege for us to be here yesterday and teach on parenting. But the thing, the teaching that we have on parenting is something that happened to Sonia and myself once with our little boy when he was 3 years old, Stefan. He was lying on the bed, and I looked at him and I saw how big he'd grown, and I was amazed. And I said to Sonia, "Just likely, if he kyk hoe groot is hy." And then he said, "Mama," and he touched his head with his little hand, and he said, "Groot." And my heart broke because I saw that in that little boy was such a desire to grow. It was in his DNA, it was in his makeup. He wants to be big. And that's so awesome and that's so precious. Now, he's our second child, so we would actually give him pills to stay small because, you know, he's so cute being 4, and our oldest is 12 now, so we would like to keep him small. But God knows he won't swallow those pills because he wants to be big. And then he wants to become a baie groot papa. And that's like serious. Sometimes your heart breaks if you realize how much they idolize you and how they look up to you and they want to be a baie groot papa. Anyway, so Stefan wants to be a baie groot papa. So one of my passions for parenting is that we as the body of Christ must grow. Okay? We must grow. And then if we really want to, sometimes we must grow up. So there really is a process. And it's important that we bless the little ones to be little ones, and we bless the medium ones to be medium ones. And that's what I'm saying. You must recognize where they're at and bless them. And bless the medium ones. And bless the bigger ones. And bless the ones that are bigger than me. I'm definitely not the biggest guy in the kingdom. I mean, you don't have to praise God for that. Yeah? There are people that are much bigger than me in the kingdom. But you must recognize that and bless them. We mustn't get confused about how old you are. I mean, you know, a three-year-old is three and a ten-year-old is ten. And we must be able to understand that and then also see this progression of growing. But the word of growing is so important. Okay, and it ties up much with this equipping of the saints. Okay, then I've said about the fact that we are family, and we're going to look at the fact that each one does its share. And that's really very important. Then we grow up in love, and also at the same time, we must understand authority and order. We're living in a time when I would say there's a lot of rebellion against authority. There's a lot of concern about authority and order, government in the family. And I can understand why that is so. Because in the past, there's been so much abuse, in the recent past especially. But I mean, over the last 400-500 years, there's been a lot of abuse of authority. People in power, using their power to get rich, using their power to just do what they like, and not really using their power to and their authority to really be a blessing to those under them. Now, Jesus is Lord. Okay. Sometimes we call him friend, sometimes we call him our lover, sometimes we call him lots of things, but the real title that Jesus carries today is the one of Lord. Now, Jesus has proven how much he loves us, and I don't think anyone can question that. Jesus loves us very, very much because he has washed us in his blood. But Jesus carries the title Everlasting Father. He carries the title Lord, Shepherd. Interesting point is Jesus is not our great leader. Do you guys know that? Jesus never takes the title leader. That doesn't mean we mustn't lead, and it doesn't mean we mustn't teach on leadership. It doesn't mean we mustn't do leadership development. It's very important. But leadership is our attempt at combining this thing of shepherd, of father, and of sacrificial lamb with king, with Lord. Okay? So there's authority in the house of God. Now, men of God, unfortunately, through the ages, have often abused authority and taken titles for themselves and privileges for themselves that are not godly. Money, spiritual authority, manipulative authority. And these things are very evil. They are a stench and an abomination in the eyes of God. And don't you worry, Jesus is coming back and he is going to deal with them. So you should actually pray for them because they are going to account in a very scary way to Jesus for what they did with their authority and their power, for those who have abused it. But the simple reality also is that God has appointed authority in his own household. When a king takes over another kingdom, i.e. Jesus takes over the kingdom of Satan, and he then takes the land, and he sees there's a lot of property, a lot of land that he must now rule over, because Jesus comes to rule. Ruling is a nice word. Ruling is a very gentle word. Ruling is actually a word that one can often see much as a father looks after his family. It's a word of stewardship. It's not a word of aggressive control. That's not the biblical image of the word. But nonetheless, Jesus is Lord, and so he appoints. What would a king do if he has to rule over a large tract of land that he can't travel by horse every day? He will appoint others to hold authority in his place. And that's so important that we as the family of Christ must also know that there is authority in the house of God. It's really important that we understand that God has appointed some people in high office, others in medium office, and others as little children, hoping that they will all grow up. Okay, and that brings me to the scriptures. I didn't put this one on the PowerPoint, but the guys in the back are quite quick, so perhaps I can scroll Ephesians 4 for you. Otherwise, don't mind. Just listen to me. I want to wash you by the word. I want to just read the scriptures to you and so that we can get a feel for it. For me, it's really very important that we must love the scriptures and grow up into the scriptures. if you are a baby penguin, what does a baby penguin eat? Kotsies. Okay? Puke. Or whatever. Must find a nice word. What's a nice word in English? Regurgitated fish. Okay. His mother catches a fish, a nice fresh fish in the sea, and then she eats it, and then it goes into her stomach, and then it stays there and it ferments for a couple of days. Okay? And that's what she then regurgitates, which means it comes out again, out of her mouth, and then the little baby penguin eats that. And it's very good for the little baby penguin, okay? But adult penguins don't eat that. Adult penguins eat fish. Okay? We've got to grow up. Reading books and listening to sermons is very important. But the purpose of the books and the purpose of the sermons is so that we can grow up and be able to deal with the scriptures. God wants us to understand and love the scriptures. Do you know how the word love is spelt? How do you spell the word love? No. I'm from South Africa. T-I-M-E. Time. Do you love Jesus? Who loves Jesus? Great. So, how much time do you spend with Jesus? And this is not condemnation. This is not cheap condemnation. I'm not here to put a guilt trip on you and make you feel ashamed. I'm not. The Bible says that we must speak the truth in love. I am really speaking in love. But the Bible doesn't say that we must lie to one another in love. Do you know that song? Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies. Huh? That's not Christian, okay? Tell me the truth in love, okay? So, so I really want to trust God. If there's one thing I can leave behind, if I were to die and go to heaven, and there's only one thing I can leave behind, I would want to leave behind a love, a passion for the Word of God. A passion for the Scriptures. Because Jesus is the Word. And we will not be able to do the works of Christ, be like Christ, or please God in the end, if we are not full of the Word. Now the Bible is not the Word of God, okay? The Bible is a book with little black letters in. You need the Holy Spirit to open it up for you. Then it becomes the Word of God. But God knows, once it's become the Word of God to you, I want to admonish you, beseech you, urge you, exhort you. Read the Bible, please. You must read a couple of chapters every day. Okay, and we all know there's no law, but I just really want to admonish you to, and I want to leave that with you. And I'm trusting God in the Spirit that that's perhaps the biggest thing that will stay behind today is simply just appreciating the Scriptures, understanding the Scriptures, and getting in there. Because in the Scriptures are all the answers for life and godliness. It's all there. Okay, and I better rush. How much time have I, when is this finished? Okay, great. Cool. Amen. This is a great church. Okay. Ephesians 4. I'm going to read the whole chapter. I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. Apostle Paul speaking. Okay, I want to jump back quickly. Do you know how this book to the Ephesians starts? Paul, an apostle, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus. Okay, and you guys are the saints who are in Windhoek, and this is for you. I'm sure there are other saints in Windhoek that aren't here this morning. I'm not saying this is it, but make no mistake, you can see the difference between a saint and those who are not saints. Can you notice the difference? Not everybody's a saint. They must become saints, and they can if they repent and get baptized. But make no mistake, there's a difference between I am a saint and I'm not a saint. It's not the same thing, and we are all saints and supposed to be saints. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Big words. Calling. Called. Worthy. Scary. Adult words. with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. We're going to come back to a lot of these thoughts. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. People, there's a reason why I don't like talking so much and just reading the scriptures. Because God can say in 10 words what I can't say in half an hour. Just look at the amount of information in any little scripture. There is one body. Important point. That's actually a very important theological statement. One body. It's a very important point. One Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In you all. Seeing as you are the saints. He's not in everybody out there, but He is in you and wants to be in you. But to each one of us has been given, each one of us, grace has been given. Each one, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore He says, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, He ascended, what does it mean but that He also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. Okay? This is speaking very powerfully of Jesus' conquest over the kingdom of darkness. After Jesus was crucified and at His death, He defeated Satan. Okay, when Jesus died, that's the moment that the power of Satan and the power of sin was broken. In that moment that He said, Father God, into Your hands I commit My spirit. And then He said, Tetelestai. It is finished. Dit is volbring. In that moment, Satan was a goner. Okay, that's the day the atom bomb fell, poof, and the devil and his cohorts knew it's over. They are trying to put up a bit of a fake fight now, and they managed to scare some Christians, but the battle is won. Okay, since that day, it's just mopping up operations. But after Jesus had defeated death by dying on the cross, He went down into hell. He preached the gospel in hell. And He took captivity captive. He defeated death and sin that day. Amongst many other things. And then He gave gifts to men. People, can you imagine how powerful that is? Jesus defeating Satan, taking the enemy captive, and giving gifts to men. All in one action. Eh? It's like a soldier going to war and coming back with treasures of the enemy. Firstly, he's got the captives on a chain. And secondly, he's got gifts and treasures that He hands out to His own, to His people, and we are His people, the saints. Okay, and this is the kingdom of darkness that He's plundering, the demonic realms, depression, fear, anger, lust, greed, all the nonsense, and the worst of them all, the fear of death. Okay, this is speaking of victory and authority. And then what did Jesus do? And He Himself, Jesus personally, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Okay? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher. They are called the gifts of the Son. Son being Jesus Christ. You have gifts of the Father. You have gifts of the Son and gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are the praying in tongues, discerning of spirits, gifts of miracles, healings. The gifts that Jesus gave is the office gifts. He gave people to stand in authority and to administer His grace in the household of God. And therefore, Carl and Maritza, that the Lord has appointed as pastors over you. I mean, we pray in Stellenbosch, and we pray together with Pastor Fred, and we really endeavor to appoint the right people by the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord appoints those people, and He gives them grace, and He gives them power, and He gives them anointing. And it is so great to see a guy with a pastor's heart like Carl, who will not hurt a fly. But in that father's heart, in his gentleness and in his real love for you, make no mistake, God has appointed him with authority. Okay? Like in my household. When my little three-year-old comes in and his mother says, brush your teeth, and he says, no, dan sit nag vir hom. Okay? Because I've got authority. God has made me the pastor of that family, and He wants me to do my work. But once again, we are not talking about the abuse of authority. We are not talking about being in the ministry for greedy gain. We are talking about being in the ministry for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till means there's a period and then it's going to be different. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Okay, it's going to be a while, if I must be honest, if I look at that. It's going to stop at some point, but it's not soon, if you guys know anything about what's happening in the church and in the world. But anyway, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed, no longer be children. Okay? Do you see the whole process of, it's okay to be a child, but then God appoints a very strict dad over you. And that man, but his purpose is to bring you up into adulthood, into maturity. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Okay, and that's what the devil and his buddies are busy with. All those things. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, okay, this is what I really want to focus on. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Okay, I'm not going to finish the chapter, just to save a bit of time. The rest of the chapter is not so directly tied in with this. Now for me, I was joined shofar 18 years ago, basically. Then I wanted to be a pastor very badly. And so I told Pastor Fred. Then he sent me to Bible school to Rhema. I went to Rhema for 2 years. Bible school. There wasn't a Bible school at Shofar yet. Those were the early days. Then I met my wife there, which is probably why God sent me there. I knew that this chick has got serious spiritual gifts, and without her, I won't be able to fulfill my calling. That's a fact. So I'm very glad I got her. And then I brought her down to Stellenbosch. And the body received her, and now we are married for 15 years. Amen. For wonderful years. Okay, then I wanted to be in the ministry. Then I had to work for 2 years, and then I became a pastor with Shofar, and I was in the ministry for 4 years as a pastor. And then after 4 years, I left. And that leaving was 10 years ago. Exactly 10 years. And 10 years later, Fred came back to me, and he said, Rolf, we want you back in the office. Okay, back in the Shofar office in headquarters in Stellenbosch. And I really was enjoying my job. And I was doing great things for God. I mean, even if I say it myself, I think I was. Okay, you guys can judge it later, ne? But I was preaching. I was prophesying. I was casting out demons. I was doing amazing things at work. And I was very, very happy with that platform. And I really had made up my mind that I was going to stay in business till Jesus comes back. As soon as people in this congregation, it's wonderful to be called pastor. But sometimes in places when you get called pastor, everybody goes funny. They start talking with a funny voice. They stop swearing. They stop lying. And they become unnatural. And you can see this is not the real person. He's just being hypocrite now. He's just being silly now. But that's what they tend to do. So it was wonderful for me to be the general manager of Val de Vie, which is a big security golf estate like Francois building his house on. I ran a big estate like that for 5 years. 550 expensive houses and two polo fields and stuff. And that was really wonderful for me. And when Fred called me, I was really sad. On the one hand, I was glad because I like preaching and traveling and seeing you guys and blessing you. But on the other hand, I was sad because I really enjoyed my job. Because I'd come to the place where I really knew and understood and believed that that was my calling. Working there, you see, from the, I mean, I'm talking a lot of academic stuff, I know. I'm not boring you too much. But the Roman Catholic Church, do you know the Roman Catholic Church? We all come from the Roman Catholic Church because 1,000 years ago there was no church, no charismatic church, no shofar, no Dutch Reformed church. There was only the Roman Catholic Church. It was the only church that there was. And so when in 1516, when Martin Luther started the Reformation, and from that we got the Reformed churches, and then later the Evangelical churches, and then later the Charismatic churches, we are all branches. But the original root all comes from the Roman Catholic Church because that's all there was. And the Roman Catholic Church is far from perfect. But the Roman Catholic Church is still attempts to serve Christ. Sometimes they've got a bit strange ideas. I don't agree with a lot of their things. But that is where we all come from. She is our grandmother, spiritually speaking. And in that sense, we must not curse her. We must honor her. We don't have to agree with everything she does. I don't agree with everything my grandmother does. I don't agree with everything my father does. But still my father. So one must be careful when you deal with the Roman Catholic Church, because that's where we come from. But from the Roman Catholic Church came a thing that through all the years of Reformation, we have endeavored to break away from wrong ideas. And ideas that are the ideas of man and not the ideas of God, and those things which we find in the Bible. But one of the things which the Roman Catholic Church got from the Romans, and the Romans were not Christian, and the Romans got it from the Greeks, and the Greeks were not Christian at all. They are the guys that separated the body from the spirit. And they said that if you can serve God with your spirit, and you serve, but you can serve the devil with your body. Okay? Which means that what you do in the flesh, if you lie and steal and cheat, but you still go to church on a Sunday, that's okay. Do you guys recognize this doctrine? Do you understand that even though it's 2,000 years later, this thinking has influenced us today? Especially in the Western church. I think the African church, or you guys with an African legacy, I think you've instinctively got a greater understanding that your body and your spirit are closely tied together, and that you cannot separate the body and the spirit all that much, even though they are distinct. But what you do with your body is very important, and it is very spiritual. And so you cannot come and listen to sermons on a Sunday only and do nothing on a Monday morning, because Carl is the pastor and you are not the pastor. That's a wrong thinking. It is a big mistake. And what was nice for me to be in work, in a normal job until very recently, I was very spiritual. I read the Bible. I cast out demons. I prayed in tongues. But I was able to have a very, very big impact on my company where I was. And I started under and the bottom like everybody. But I was faithful and I was a good Christian. I didn't start witnessing to everybody. And I didn't start offending my bosses foolishly. Okay? You don't have to witness to everybody. Do you know that? Yes, I hope I'm not going against some deep doctrine here. Jesus says, don't give what is precious to the pigs and the dogs. Sometimes if you go to somebody and you say, Jesus loves you, they curse you and they throw it back in your face. Have you been there? Who's been there? Will you try and minister to somebody, Jesus loves you, and they just vomit on you. They just throw it back. How can a good God allow so much suffering? Who's been there? You must know what God wants you to do. Do you know that Jesus walked past lots of sick people and he didn't heal them? Jesus went in and out the temple of David often, Solomon's temple. And then Jesus was crucified and he went to heaven. And then a couple of months later, Peter and John walked into the temple. And the Bible says, and there was a crippled man who had been sitting there for 40 years. Now, if he'd been sitting there for 40 years, and this is only 3 years after Jesus, that means Jesus walked past that guy a couple of times. And he didn't heal him. Didn't heal him. Why not? Well, I don't know. But he didn't. And it didn't mean that that guy wasn't going to get healed. It just means that Jesus didn't, at that stage, heal him. And the one thing that you see about Jesus is led by the Spirit. He's got a very real, intelligent relationship where he hears the Father, he hears the Holy Spirit, and then he does very specific things, and there's a lot of other good works that he doesn't do. Because they are there for other people. Each one of us has got good works which God prepared beforehand for us that we should walk in them. I mustn't try and do Carl's good works, and he shouldn't try and do my good works. We spoke about that this morning. He must do his good works, which the Lord has prepared before and for him. And if he does them, he's going to enjoy them. If I do his good works, it's going to be a frustration. It's just not natural, because that's like telling a finger to do the job of an ear. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. God is, and that is so amazing. And that's once again why I want to bless you. I want to recognize in you what God has put in you. And say, but that is the good work that the Lord has put before you. And then this thing, in the workplace, you know, for me, it's really an important point, and I'm probably going to preach about it a lot wherever I go, is the fact that we must not live in this sacred class and the sacerdotal class. which means the holy people, which means the ones who are working full-time for God, and then the rest, who are sort of, in spiritual terms, second tier. That's untrue. It's not correct. And you know what's the easiest example to prove this? The Apostle Paul was never in full-time ministry. Do you know that? The Apostle Paul, who is hands down the most effective apostle of the lot, because if you go to Wikipedia or Google or any history book, it's difficult to find out what Thomas did. And they speculate about what Thaddeus Lebeus did. Have you ever heard the name? Thaddeus Lebeus. I mean, okay, you guys are better than me because I only picked that up a couple of months ago. Oh, you didn't? Oh, did you say no? Who knows Thaddeus Lebeus? Thaddeus Lebeus is one of the 12. Did you know that, Thaddeus Lebeus? I didn't know that till a couple of weeks ago. So I don't think Thaddeus Lebeus did a lot of good works. I'm not judging the man. I don't know. Perhaps he was an intercessor, I suppose, or something. Because we can't see much of what he did. Okay? The only apostles that we really know much about is Peter, Paul, and John. And then a little bit of James. The other guys didn't go and plant 20 churches and go all over the world. I'm not saying they didn't do those things. But what I am saying is, it is interesting for me, and don't read too much into it, but it's interesting for me to see that the apostle that accomplished the most in terms of planting churches and leaving us half of the Bible was never in full-time ministry. Hello? Shocking. It is quite shocking. Because what that brings to me is then, what are we supposed to do? I mean, it's amazing, and don't get me wrong, the fact that you guys are committed to worship, you're committed to home cell, you're committed to the church, committed to Sunday services, praise God, and it must stay like that. But for me, it was very liberating to go to my job on a Monday morning and to know God put me there to make a difference. And there were so many things that I could do at Walde V, which was very close to impossible while I was a pastor in the full-time ministry. That's what I'm saying. You must know what the good works are that God has set before you. But you must go and think and look and understand. Because God is not going to show the good works that He has prepared for you. He's not going to show them to Carl. He isn't going to tell Carl what you must do. What He is going to tell Carl is, Carl is going to recognize the design. He's going to see, but you are a great teacher. Or you are a great banker. Or you are a good engineer. He's going to see that. And then He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. But He's not going to tell you what to do. God will tell you. God will show you if you seek Him. If you are really interested in knowing what God wants you to do, God will show you. And people, I just want to say in my own life, when do you think a hammer is the happiest? When is a hammer happy? When he's driving nails. Because that's what he was made to do. It's natural and it's nice. And when do you think a teaspoon is at its happiest? In the mouth. With honey. Amen. But that's it. But the hammer doesn't want to be full of honey and in somebody's mouth. It's not natural. But does that mean the hammer is more blessed than the teaspoon? No. But we must ask God, each one of us, and that's what we're going to pray in closing. Are you glad? It's not 3 hours. It was just a joke. That's what we are going to pray, is that the Lord will show each one of you what has the Lord set before you. The scriptures that we prayed for the little one. God prepared good works. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand for us that we should walk in them. There are these designed good works, an orphanage, a bank, an engineering firm. And we don't have to always spiritualize it and think that the only things that God's interested in is an orphanage. God is very interested in orphanages. Make no mistake. And make sure that you are in some or other fashion blessing an orphanage, okay? I think it's just one of those very good things that should be on your CV. Involvement in the community, okay? I just suggest we all get that one on the CV because Jesus spoke about it clearly, okay? But I tell you, I've got friends who've got anointing. I've got a friend who started a bank, a very successful bank in South Africa, a big bank. God wants that man to run a bank. And his ability to make disciples of the nations in the bank is massive because he's got a high position in the bank. You must understand your level that you are operating on. Don't bite off more than you can chew. If you are 3 years old, it's not time to try and braai a steak and eat it, okay? That doesn't mean God isn't going to teach you how to braai a steak and eat it, but not yet. So understand where you fit into the organization. Understand what your authority and your sphere of influence is for now. But then at the same time, pray the prayer of Jabez, that the Lord may enlarge your territory and enlarge the area of influence that you can influence. And people, I can tell you quite simply, to know what you are responsible for as a Christian, everything you can see. You can't see what I see, so that's not your problem. You don't see what Carl sees, so don't worry about it. But what you see, injustice, lying, abortion, poverty, war, corruption in your workplace, those are the things that God has wants you to worry about. That's where you are. It's so natural and it's so obvious. Don't think that only if you are in the pulpit and you jump up and down with a microphone, you are doing the work of God. That is a lie. It is a lie. When you are running a bank, but you are running it on Christian principles, when you are estate manager of an estate, when you are a taxi driver, any job that you've got, if you are a taxi driver and you are driving up and down, you are seeing so many things that you can pray about, people that you can share with. And I tell you, the more that you understand that that steering wheel is to you, what this microphone is to Carl. Beloved, Francis of Assisi, do you know him? Francis of Assisi? Saint Francis, very famous Christian of the Middle Ages. He said, preach the gospel all the time. And if necessary, use words. Okay, that's it. And that is so fulfilling, and I can tell you for many years, I wanted to, when I was younger, I wanted to be a pastor. I wanted to be here every Sunday with a microphone, and I like preaching. Perhaps you can see that. Then God took me out of it, and I was very unhappy. It was painful, it was confusing, and I didn't want to do it. And it took me about 5 years to just submit and get my mind around this thing, and then I started having success. And then for 5 years in business, God really blessed me. Taught me, healed me, showed me so many things. And I was able to do so many things that I always wanted to do as a pastor, but I couldn't. Because, I mean, even though Carl calls me pastor and you guys might call me pastor, I'm not really a pastor in this classic sense. God has got other things for me to do. If I never preach on Sundays, it will be fine. My ministry does not hinge on Sunday sermons. There are so many things that I know about the kingdom of God. There are so many things I want to do. There are so many people I want to bless by just saying, brother, God put you in this bank. Brother, God put you at Speedy Exhausts. Sister, God made you a nurse. Sister, God made you a teacher. Mother, God made you a mother. I'm serious. Worship God by looking after those little ones and bringing up a new generation. It's so easy. So we'll pray for you, and I look forward to praying for you. But in the end of the day, even for those that we don't pray, do you know what your calling is? You have been called to that which you can see. That's it. The one thing that I've been called to is this issue of design. I want to make sure the hammers drive nails and the teaspoons go into the mouth with honey. That's important for me. I don't want to see teaspoons trying to dig holes in the garden. And I don't want to see hammers trying to make music. If God's called you to music, praise God. But if He hasn't, praise God. This is a place for you. So, I just want to read in closing 1 Corinthians 14:26. Also as an example of what church is going to look like in the future. Because this is what the church in Corinth did. And they were actually doing so much of it that it was becoming a problem, because there's always a balance, ne? There's always a balance. If you want to drive a car, you don't drive like this with the steering wheel, okay? There's a gentle way to find what God is busy with. But anyway, the guys in Corinth, how is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, and has a teaching, and has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or three, or two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let each one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent, and let him who speak to himself. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. Judge means they decide, they can feel whether this word is of God. Because you know why the others must judge? Because we must allow the baby Christians to prophesy. Do you know that? The baby prophets. There are baby prophets here today. Some of them have never prophesied. When the babies come to prophesy, then we must let them prophesy. And then afterwards we must just sometimes decide and say, okay, that was a baby prophesying and we are so glad about it, but there's just a little bit of correction that one must sometimes bring. That's what it means there. But so guys, what I just want to really see is a love for the scriptures, appreciation for family, which I can see is already here, the family of Christ, all of us together, and then the institution of God, mother, father, and children. And that each one of us come on home cell with too much to say. And that Jankor, who's now helping all of Shofar, all the whole Shofar group with home cells, that he will just have to make rules about how to get the people to keep quiet. And only 16 testimonies and 3 miracles on a Wednesday, okay? Instead of guys coming to home cell, oh, I'm so depressed, pray for me, brother. At work, I'm surrounded by sons of the devil. And they smoke, and they swear, and they curse me, and they curse my family. Oh, pray for me, I'm so depressed. Oh, and somebody stole my car. Oh, okay, and you know what? Bad things happen. Amen. There's no problem to have a bit of a disaster every now and then, but God does not want us to live there. God wants us to come back and say, now I got 3 people born again, I witnessed for that guy, I prayed to this one, or God gave me a word at intercession. Or God gave me a vision, a real passion for Kitty's church. Or God gave me an orphanage to run. Or God gave me a business to start. How to make bricks. 2 things are going to happen when I start making bricks. I'm going to give lots of guys work, and I'm going to make money. God wants the businessmen to make money. He wants them to be wealthy, so that they can be a blessing, and so that they can create more jobs, so that they can take the money they've made and invested, more jobs, that their tithes can bless the church. So guys, that's really what I want to see. And I want to say that is, I'm going to be quite strict on that, I must be honest. If I come to home cell, don't moan. Just testify of the good things of God. I'm serious. It's going to be it's a good discipline. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Christ is inside of you. I understand that sometimes we suffer from terrible things and the devil does horrible things to us. I've been depressed too for 5 years. I nearly committed suicide too. I've been there. So I know what it can feel like. But I'm over it. Can you see? And then there's good things for you. And that's really what we would like to, leave with you. So what I just want to, if the band can come up. I want you guys to go out, love the scriptures, look at your job situation. Let God talk to you. Allow the Lord to share with you what He has got you to do. Understand the authority that God has put in the leadership. Leadership is not always perfect, but God is. And He uses leadership. He uses imperfect leadership. Go to your pastor. Go to your cell leader. Go to your people. And let them bless you. Let them say, you know what, brother, that's an awesome plan. But have you thought about doing it this way? Because you know this. Because sometimes you can get excited, but you need oversight. You need somebody who knows the Bible, perhaps a bit better than you, that's been going for a little bit longer, that's able to, just to encourage you. So you must understand authority, okay? You must understand what is the scope of your authority. A successful person at work is somebody that understands the scope of their authority that God has given them. If I appoint somebody at Val d'Vie to cut the grass, and this person comes to me and says, can I cut the grass today? And I say, yeah. can we cut it this short? En ek sê, ja. Can I cut it tomorrow again? Dan denk ek, oops, it's not the right guy. Because his contract says cut the grass 3 times a week. So why isn't he cutting the grass? Why is he now coming all the time to me? Because he doesn't want to take responsibility for that which God has appointed him over. But now if the guy that does have the contract to cut the grass, if he now goes and he cuts the vineyards too, and he cuts them short like this, because he wants to cut them short like grass, and we can't make wine anymore because there aren't any grapes, and then he's also not the right guy for the job. Then he also has to leave or get sorted out. So you must understand authority. Don't try and do less than you should. But also don't try and do more, because that's also not going to work. And then there's going to be conflict like that. I just want to ask, let's just pray. Hallelujah. Mighty God, Lord, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your spirit, O God. And Father God, as we want to come here this morning, Lord, to recognize design, Lord, and to just lay our hands on that and bless it, Father God, we also want to pray, Lord, that those that you have designed for salvation, Father God, those that you brought here today, because they must meet with you, Father God, somebody must just introduce them to you and lay hands on them, Father God, and just say, you've been called, the Lord loves you, and we just want to lay hands on them, Father God, and bless them. And Father God, we want to pray that you will really just work in the hearts, Father God, of each one here. If there's anybody here who, if you're uncertain about your salvation, if you're uncertain about your connection with Jesus Christ, if you are uncertain about your being rooted in the body of Christ, then I want to invite you to come up afterwards and we're going to pray for you. And if there are any of you who have an excitement or a fear or a desire or anything in terms of design, of wanting to get into the place where you know that this is the good works, these are the good works that God has prepared beforehand for you, that you should walk in them, we just want to invite you to come up afterwards. We're going to close the sermon now. Pastor Carl will close it for us, and then we're going to be up here to speak to you. So whether it's a salvation issue or whether it's a purpose issue, come to us, tell us what's going on in your life. Help us to recognize what God is doing in your life and to bless you. And Father God, as we just thank you, Lord, for the drawing of your Holy Spirit, Lord. We just submit, O God, to your wisdom, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Can we all stand, please? We're going to worship together now, and as Pastor Rolf has spoken this morning, if you felt that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you this morning, because I know he would have been speaking to you, if it's regarding maybe salvation, or maybe if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit yet, we will be here. We would love to pray with you this morning. If there's anything else this morning you feel on your heart, God is calling you and you maybe need prayer, there will be facilitators in the front. And we would love to pray with you. We're going to worship together now. And then I just want to say thank you a lot, Rolf, for blessing us this morning and really ministering to us. At the end, there will be coffee at the back. For those of you who are interested, please join us for some fellowship. We are going to worship together now. And as we start to worship and you feel in your heart you want to respond this morning, please do so. Come to us. I can give you nothing, but we would love to pray with you this morning. Amen.